This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Ave Puglielli from the Victorian Greens. You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
There you go. Who we got, Madeline?
We have Rachel Payne from Legalised Cannabis.
Good morning, Rachel. How are you? And thank you. Rachel would normally be in the studio, and Rachel decided to speak to us on the phone because she's
a bit under the weather.
Yeah, got a bit of a throaty thing. How are you, apart from that?
Hi, Macca. Hi, Madeline. I'm sorry. You know, move over, Madonna, or you get me in bed with today.
That's all right.
It's not often that I sort of am not up and running around and wanting to be in the studio, but I just thought I'd best keep my germs to myself today.
Better
I don't
safe
want to make
than
anyone
sorry.
Sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
We do.
So, Rachel, we've had in the Parliament, granted you're in the upper house, which is a different part of the circus to the lower house, but, you know, we've had a change of premier in the last week. What are your reflections there?
Oh, look, it really has been a different vibe in Parliament. And granted, I am only new in that place. I still consider myself a newbie, but it is definitely a different vibe. And not only have we gained a new premier, but we have also seen a real shuffle in some of the cabinet ministers as well. So, you know, I think everyone is just at that point where please let us get our feet under the desk before you start hammering us with lots of questions. But you know, I think it was fairly predictable that we would see Jacinta Allan move into the role of premier. I'm open to seeing what is on offer, but I did have a giggle because I noticed that Jacinta got elected for a campaign that was trying to shut down a tabletop dancing venue in Bendigo, and I did message my colleague Georgie Purcell, who also used to be a tabletop dancer, yes, to say, aren't we going to have a fun conversation with the new premier? So, you know, I do kind of relish the moment of being able to talk to her more about the rights and roles of sex workers in our society. So,
and you know, for our listeners, I mean, I remember that. A lot of our listeners, and I'm sure some people in Bendigo remember it. Do you think Jacinta remembers it?
Well, I mean, she has been in politics, I think it's 26 years now, and the last meeting I did have with her, we were able to go through the planning and the big build information. She was sort of discussing that portfolio with us, and this was, you know, only a few days before she did become premier, and she actually was really wonderful in saying, how are you finding it? And she did express that, you know, each day for her, she's learning something new in the role as well. So I say, you know, good luck to her and congratulations, and I look forward to working with a woman in that space as well.
Do you think the change of premier will have any effect on the state of legalising cannabis in Victoria?
Well, and this is something that I really do look forward to discussing with her when I meet with her. Look, I guess we knew that Daniel Andrews as premier was very supportive of medicinal cannabis, and Victoria has been the first state to legalise medicinal cannabis in 2016. And we do know that he was very positive in wanting to come to some sort of resolution as to what would be happening with driving and medicinal cannabis patients. I have raised this as a concern, particularly with the progress of that, and what they've come back to say is, you know, that I'm still working with the same people, essentially. She has been part of those cabinet discussions. She's been part of those meetings, and she will continue to support that progress. So by way of legalising cannabis and looking forward to what we might try and, you know, tackle with her as a new premier, and knowing full well that she has got a lot on her plate over the next 6 months, I'm bringing to Parliament at the end of November the discussion of a first step towards regulating cannabis. And I guess for us, it's about really trying to get the government on board with those conversations of, you know, this is something that needs to happen. Now, how do we get to that point? So you know, who do we talk to? Who do we involve? How many experts do we need to move forward in this space and make sure that not only is community on board, but the government is on board?
Perhaps to give you some heart or some encouragement in this area, we've seen there's been no shortage of evidence, surveys, opinions, policies around the harm gambling does. And the government and the new premier has
immediately
acted to close to say gambling venues of a particular kind between 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. you can't be open. Right. So, and this is based, I'm told, and I believe, on evidence and the facts. So it does show that the new premier is prepared to act in this area. So equally, if you can provide, and I'm pretty sure you can, some really good sound facts around cannabis, not just medical cannabis, and it astounds me that we, you know, legalized medical cannabis, but then there was this whole area about, you know, people doing other things whilst they were taking medical cannabis that the law didn't really cover. So does that make you feel good that, you know, gambling, that there's, you know, Jacinta Allen, the new premier, has acted there? Does that encourage you with cannabis?
Very much so.
And probably I should have worded that better, shouldn't I?
No, I get what you're saying, and I totally agree. I mean, this government has been very progressive in many ways, and I expect that she will want to continue that moving forward of progress, particularly around harm minimisation. I think that there is a lot to be said in that space, because we know that the greatest harm currently is the system we currently have. It's stigmatizing. It creates criminalization, and it is not in line with what the community expects of what the police force do, or what the government is holding on to as something that they want to continue to make prohibited. I think that she's going to have. I think she's a very pragmatic operator, and I also think there's opportunity here to look at Victoria could lead the way for Australia, and we have in many other respects when it has come to cannabis reform. So I think with this trajectory that we're on, I think that there is conversation there to be had, and I think she would be supportive in many respects.
I know you'll get asked this question all the time, because it's the one devil's advocates throw up, but the whole idea of cannabis as a gateway drug. Do you what responses do you have to that?
I actually really love this conversation, because whenever you think about when you do buy cannabis, for example, you have to buy it on the black market. It's through a drug dealer, and more often than not, when you are seeing that person, they are going to offer you other drugs. So to me, the current system as it stands is what is the gateway, is the fact that to access cannabis, you have to do it illegally, meaning you have to be around people that you wouldn't ordinarily be around, potentially, that have options for other drugs. So, inadvertently, the drug dealers are the gateway, and criminalisation is the gateway. So I think having a look at a regulated market and thinking realistically about that, we have seen it happen in so many jurisdictions around the world. Yeah. Just over the border in the ACT, we have seen some form of decriminalisation, almost regulation or legalisation, happen. And I think we can kind of reflect on that to say the sky has not fallen in. What would be most suited to an Australian climate? What would be most suited to an Australian industry? And how do we make sure that particularly young people are educated and we're reducing those harms? Well, you do that by regulating it.
What is more dangerous, Rachel? Gambling? Or cannabis?
Definitely gambling.
No contest.
In my eyes.
Sorry.
We have not seen anyone actually, lose their life from cannabis. So I dare say that wouldn't be the same for reflections on gambling and the harm.
Absolutely. In terms of other things that are on the agenda, we're just going to take a quick break, Rachel. So stay with us. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the other matters in the Parliament and policies that, you know, my community is pretty passionate about, and I know you've been incredibly supportive, as have a lot of your crossbench colleagues, you know, people in the government are and people in the opposition are from time to time on both sides of the house there. So stay with us and we'll come back and we'll go into some policy areas.
Hi, this is Tanya Plibersek. You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
There you go. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Madeline. We're speaking with Rachel Payne, one of the members of the upper house of the Legalise Cannabis Party. Rachel, I wanted to go into some other policy areas. We've the government's talked a lot about anti-vilification legislation, and it seems to be taking longer than I would have thought, considering there are a couple of draft bills that were already tabled. I think a colleague of yours, Fiona Patton, tabled one in the last term. There seems to be endless consultation here. It's not like, oh, this is the first time this has ever been legislated anywhere in the world. There's nothing we could possibly look at that's happened anywhere else. Thoughts?
I agree with you, and that was a question that I did put to the Attorney-General only a few months back, to which she replied that it would be about an 18-month time frame. Now,
she actually told us on air here it would be this year. That was a few months ago. I know, so now the time frame's blown out.
Exactly, and I think when you look at the most recent report, Fueling Hate Report, which was co-authored by the Pride Lobby, we can see that now more than ever, our young people, particularly our trans and gender diverse young people, are really needing that support, and legislation needs to happen sooner rather than later. I've also been in conversation with the former LGBTIQ Commissioner, Ro Allen, and, you know, obviously Ro's now in that space of the human rights portfolio, and looking at how complex this is. In saying that, next sitting week in Parliament, we're looking at the Nazi salute again. I mean, to me, that would be all inclusive of a broader anti-vilification legislation package. So I'm struggling a little bit with how slow the mechanisms of government do move. And I do understand that this legislation is very complex, but and that consultation is needed. But we're at that point now where we know what is needed, and there has been reports written. There was an inquiry. I think Fiona Patton was the chair of that inquiry that led to that legislation being introduced, where there was recommendations made for anti-vilification laws. And those recommendations are very clear and straightforward. So there is a real disconnect, I think, with community and what government are actually saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Getting this legislation is like waiting for a V-line train. It never seems to come.
And I think for us in Parliament, it's quite frustrating, because they say the work is happening behind the scenes. And they do also say, we're happy to brief you. But when you do follow up on that with both, you know, the Attorney General and the Equality Minister, you do sometimes find that it's sort of this feeling of it, you know, there's not that level of engagement that you're sort of hoping would be providing that briefing, so that I can come back to community and say, I can assure you that this is happening, and this is what is the delay, or this is what is the consideration. So I'll continue to push for that.
Yeah. Other observations, Rachel? You have some pretty good colleagues on the crossbench, the odd rat bag, but we won't talk about them.
I'm with you. I don't give them airplay.
No. They're oxygen thieves, some of them. It's an interesting environment, and you've been there, and it's almost a year. Has the environment improved? You know, we speak to, you know, one of the Greens, Ave, you know, he is likened, and I'll paraphrase here, to a bit of a dysfunctional kindergarten. has it improved? Or is it still dysfunctional kindergarten?
It's funny because I'm fortunate enough to be guided at the moment by Fiona Patten, who had been in Parliament for 8 years prior to me being elected. And I do often query this with her because I think, wow, people are really slow at getting information to you, or you're expected to be voting on a bill, or there is amendments being made and you're only being told about it, you know, maybe 24, 48 hours prior, or maybe even on the morning of just 10 minutes before you're about to speak on a bill. It does feel quite dysfunctional. And I think this is just a game of politics, unfortunately. I would like to see that there be a little bit more collaboration and congeniality. And I think that we find that on the crossbench, particularly we do often cross over with the Greens and with the Animal Justice Party. We do find that we have that sort of progressive thought that continues to push the boundaries further for what government are trying to reform. But, I'm still getting used to the flow, and it is an ebb and a flow environment. But upon reflection, I think that it is its own world, and unfortunately it is something where there doesn't seem to be any consistency. It's just as it is.
Rachel, I don't want to pry into anything personal, but you've mentioned Fiona a few times. So I for one, am missing her wisdom on the in the public sphere. Can you tell us how she's doing at the moment?
She's doing really well. She has, obviously she, I think most recently she did speak with media around her having to live with cancer and the diagnosis that she did receive at the end of last year, and obviously had to have surgery and then went through chemotherapy. And I think it has been a real, it has really slowed her down, is what I would interpret of Fiona. But in saying that, she's still very hard to keep up with. So there's no holding her back. And I think that she has just had to reevaluate, well, this is kind of living with this at the moment. And I applaud her for using her platform to be able to have those broader conversations. And it's something that not a lot of people do talk about when they go through cancer. And the fact that you do have to have treatment, that treatment may have positive results. You may have ongoing treatment, and what it means for your ongoing lifestyle as well. And, you know, I do applaud her for continuing to advocate in that space. In saying that, Fiona is, she has been helping out behind the scenes with me, which I'm incredibly grateful for, because as a newbie in Parliament, I would not have been able to do half of what I've managed to get done this year without the wise wisdom of Fiona in the background. So it has been really helpful.
Thank you.
I think one of the things to remember, Rachel, I mean, being in the upper house and the government not having a majority, it does mean that they actually do have to consult with you, unless the opposition is supporting their legislation, because they don't have the numbers. Whereas in the lower house, of course, the government has the numbers. So there's probably less consultation that goes on there. Do you think, let's think forward to, the next couple of years of the parliament. And I'm not asking you to bet on this because I don't, support gambling. What do you think the likelihood of meaningful reform in the area, not just of medical cannabis, but social cannabis, is going to be?
I think we are going to have meaningful reform of cannabis, and I am a real optimist in this space, but I feel the government is starting to become ready for those broader conversations. And we do have really positive meetings with the Treasurer, and we know that, the Treasurer has been publicly often quite supportive of some sort of reform in this space. The Treasurer has often commented that, the criminalisation of cannabis is something that is harming people. So we know that we can really have those intricate conversations around criminalisation. But we also want to look at, well, if we were to regulate and then have a commercial model, what may that look like? And the approach that we're trying to have is, we know that this government works in staged approaches. And so what we've looked at is what is causing the most harm currently, and also what are our membership base, our core people telling us which is they want to be able to grow at home. They want to be able to share amongst each other and gift. They don't want to be prosecuted for having small quantities of cannabis. So removing that criminalisation has been the focus for us going forward just towards the end of this year. But we do want to have those bigger conversations around, well, how do we continue to reduce harm? How do we continue to educate people? And how do we ensure safety of consumption, which would be to regulate appropriately? And we have lots of examples overseas where it has been done successfully and some where it hasn't worked at all or it has been to detriment of community. So we need to find that balance and what is going to work best in Victoria. And, I mean, I joke with my staff all the time that if we make it easy for people to consume cannabis, they're not likely to go to their drug dealer. If there's a good price point and it's accessible... Yeah. We know what Australians are like, you know. We want to just be able to go in
and
be provided. You know, what kind of experience do you want to have? Do you want something that's going to, you know, help you sleep? Do you want something that's going to elevate your mood, you know, and having those broader conversations in a safe environment where you know what is in your product is what we're trying to achieve. And I think the government is open to that conversation. It may take a few years, but I think we're getting there.
I'm pleased the Treasurer, and I've seen some of those comments, the cynics amongst us might say he's looking at the enforcement costs when it's illegal and perhaps the taxation mm-hmm. opportunities when it's decriminalised.
But exactly.
Only a cynic would say that. one final question, if I may, from a listener, Rachel, and, you know, you may not want to answer this, is opposition members in the upper house, any good friendships there?
Oh, look, I'm happy to work with everybody. And that's what has been the biggest surprise in politics is the amount of friendships that are formed behind the scenes with the most unlikely of members. Look, I think there are some alliances and I definitely often get told about people's experiences with cannabis from all sides of politics, and I won't name names, but we definitely have those amongst the ranks that have consumed cannabis or would be curious to do so.
Even inhaled.
Even inhaled. I think Dr. Matthew Buck, in a speech through Parliament this week, surprised us all by saying that he had consumed cannabis a couple of times. So. It will be sad to see him go because he's quite the rational voice amongst
it is sad. It is sad that he's going. Rachel Payne, Legalised Cannabis Party, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it. Hope you're feeling better for the rest of the weekend and next week. We do appreciate you making the time.
My pleasure, Macca. Thank you, Macca. Thank you, Madeline.
Thanks, Rachel.
A pleasure. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, where we've got a minute. No, we're going to break here and then we'll come back and close the show. I have to follow instructions from our panel operator, you know. He makes these signals.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Made in Melbourne, for Australia and the world, Joy 94.9.
I want to thank Madeline for very generously giving up her Saturday morning. Madeline has a very busy life and gets involved in lots and lots of stuff. So thank you, Madeline. It's been a pleasure to have you as my co-host again. We will do it again.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'd just like to say hello to Mel, who noted, as I did, that today we have had they loved the amount of female voices on the show. And we may have had very little lesbian visibility because of...
We ran out of time.
But I will mention it now. This Sunday, tomorrow, October the 8th, is International Lesbian Day, a day to celebrate lesbians from all over the world, inviting them to come together to honour lesbian history, diversity and culture. And coming into Joy Breakfast all the way from Brisbane is Ruth Gardner, co-host of Dykes on Mics, a programme from community radio station 4ZZZ in Brisbane, and also broadcast here on Joy 94.9 on Monday nights from 7 till 9. And if you're in Brisbane, you can catch the Dykes on Mics there on 4ZZZ in Brisbane on Wednesdays from 6 till 8. And right after this show, when we finish up, the next thing you can listen to will be Lisa's going to be talking to Bert Murphy on Word for Word this week, so stay tuned for that. And before I go, I also just wanted to take exception with you about the V-line comment. I've been to Ballarat and Bendigo in the last couple of months on V-line for something, $5 as a senior card holder.
Yeah.
And there was one little breakdown outside of Ballam, but other than that, the trains were on time and they were an absolute joy.
Now, just a friend of mine recently was using V-line, and on three occasions out of five, the train was very, very late or didn't turn up. So, sorry, V-Line.
And it's so cheap, but it's so cheap.
That's right.
Thank you for having
me. Here's the news. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.